So was the novel and stories what you set out to write, or was that just the way the story evolved?
Did I set out to write the book as it exists now? No.
No one ever does.
No, not at all. After writing No Place Louisiana, I knew that I didn't want to replicate that. You know, it was a work of sort of sober, straightforward realism set in the region, and it told some of that forgotten history of Acadiana. And it did interrogate to a degree the complicated racial lines and racism inside the culture, and the complicated understandings of gender roles there. That was in my first novel. But I didn't want to revisit that territory with the same attitude. I wanted to approach it in a new way. And also, I was teaching full-time, and I couldn't at all conceive of a novel. I didn't start writing this as a novel. These were isolated stories, and I was I wanted to go in and recapture some of the legends that I had grown up with, which seemed at times like fairy tales, myths, legends, you know, the tales of the loup-garou, the werewolves, and the wicked little jokes about people who lived in, you know, boats in the swamps. And I wanted this to capture that, but I wanted each story to have a sort of different texture, a different tone, a different flavor. And so I really wrote them in an isolated way initially, and with a backdrop of some either local legend or more universal tale underneath it. And eventually, when I started bringing it together as a book, at first it was a collection of short stories, but there were these, it felt like there were these gaps and omissions between some of them, and huge leaps in time. So I started writing into those gaps, and then I ended up with what is perhaps a novel in stories. So each of the 13 tales can be read on their own. Some of them lean toward the almost realistic. Some of them are more fully fantastical, are magic realism, gothic. And yet over the 13 stories, eventually they tell one story about one traumatized queer boy from Acadiana trying to make his way out.
Well, you talk about him as a, you know, your protagonist for the most part is, go back. Your protagonist is a wild-hearted boy. Tell us a bit about him and his family.
Well, he is the son of a, what's described as a Holy Ghost mother. She is of the Pentecostal faith. Although Acadiana is understood to be predominantly Roman Catholic, it's not as well known that there's also a sort of firebrand evangelicism that exists in the Bayous as well. And so his mother comes from that brand of faith. That brand of faith is also merged with voodoo traditions and preteurs, and his mother comes from that tradition. Her father was a voodoo healer, and she sang in a gospel choir. And so her understanding of the world is a world that is not at all separate from what others think of as a dreamscape. You know, all of the fantastical creatures in her part of the story are fleshier and seem a lot more real, because that is the experience of growing up in a faith that had that kind of fire at the center. The father is a more traditional Cajun-French Catholic man who is the last of a long line of Cajun musicians, only has no talent at all. So, and the two of them come together in an odd marriage where everything's intersected, right? The racial lines are intersected. She herself is what in some areas of Acadiana is called a Sabine, which is a mix of Cajun ethnicity and already mixed people who then mix with local Native American tribes. He is from what people in the Canadian like to think of as pure French. Of course, there's nothing really all that pure in what is a decidedly mixed people who were mixed before they even arrived. And so there's that intersection of ethnicity and race, and then also religion. And that is a stew, a gumbo, really, out of which the son is born. And he's got all of this, at odds inside of himself. And he's tossed about in different directions as he grows up in that household.
Now, I'm curious if writing this felt different from No Place Louisiana. You know how sometimes when an author writes a first novel and it's somewhat autobiographical or drawn from home and place, and your intervening book was a book of poems called Sugar. And it seems to me that this is, Black Sheep Boy seems a great leap forward in artistry and language. I remember, there are occasional descriptions that stop me in my tracks. Like there was one line, he was my author and I was his sentence. And that was such an amazing description, Martin. So did you feel differently? Did you feel like you were doing something new with this book?
Thank you, Susan. I hope that I was. I am never interested in, duplicating, replicating what I have done before. And I studied creative writing in a few different places, but I eventually landed in New York for grad school. And there I felt that there was a wildness in my voice and in my language use that I had innately because of the place that I grew up, and I felt that that was somewhat extinguished in my first book. The themes are Gothic, but the language is not at all. Mm-hmm. Very simple, straightforward prose, and the poetry allowed me to get a little wilder again. But in both of those books, I was still looking more directly at experiences that maybe I didn't have myself, but that I had witnessed. And that sort of tether to a specific reality, eventually felt limiting to me. And so with this book, I think paradoxically, I wanted it to read as if it were a memoir, so at first person, and it sounds as if a boy is telling his own story. But in actuality, so many of those tales are just wild inventions, sometimes of my own and sometimes borrowed, blended, and hybridized. And in working in that way, I got a kind of simultaneous intimacy and distance from it. And I think that that allowed me to go back to what was my initial voice, that wild, hysteria of Cajun songwriting. And it, when I speak about it, I think sometimes it may sound more serious than I mean it to be. I mean, there's so much, that wildness is also quite fun. And a lot of the stories, especially in the second half of the book, take a sudden turn at the end, whereas No Place is, really grim, I think, all the way through. Black Sheep Boy has moments of real odd comedy, too, and sometimes reversal, right? And sometimes the victimized becomes triumphant suddenly, and the stories turn on a dime the way that they do, in legends, in folklore, and in fairy tales. And I think so writing that way, I think brought me to a place where I started forging sentences differently than I had before.
Well, it brought you to a good place for the reader, I can tell you that.
Thank you, Susan.
You are wild, and it is wonderful.